So you think you got what it takes? You think you can record a podcast? If you dreamt of the glamour and glitz of being a podcaster, well, then you need to check out the Anchor app. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. So if you think you got what it takes, then you need to go to anchor.fm/start and get started today.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain,
Ricky Ricardo.
All right, everybody, welcome to a brand new edition of the Swift Kicks podcast. I'm Alex. With me are Steve and Ben, as always. Lots happened lately in the Premier League. I mean, this is the last time we've talked. Man United have jumped right up to the top of the table, looking in pretty dominant form. Ben, I want to first off get your take on that. Do you have hope or do you have belief that Man United will carry this through and finally win a Premier League?
You know, I'm trying not to look too far down the road. I'm trying to be a little more mindful. I feel like as football fans, we always want to look at the end of the season. I think I heard today that this is the first time that Man United have been first in the table this far into a season since Alex Ferguson was last in charge of the squad. So while truthfully, I don't believe we are going to be able to pull through and win this league, I think the table is shaping up pretty competitively. It is a breath of fresh air to see us at least in a position where we could control our own destiny. And it's just really, really nice to not have to worry about everyone else kind of, you know, losing their rag, if you will, as we carry on through the crunch time. But again, going in mid-January now, first place currently is a great feeling with a huge game coming up against Liverpool. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's ever been a Man U Liverpool game that I can think of that's had more on the line. So it's super exciting to see Man United be relevant again. I'm sure for many people, it's not necessarily the case. I will say before getting Steve's kind of take on it, I do think the COVID rules of this year have played in Manchester United's favor. But I also think it's worth recognizing that Man City, unbeaten in 11, have two games in hand, which will put them right on the heels of Man United if they keep their current form. And Man City do look really good right now. So I think it's probably a little too good to be true, but we're winning every game. And that's all you got to do. It's ours to lose. So let's see what happens. Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, Man United being top of the table, not, and I would say, dominant form, but it doesn't really matter if you're in dominant form. If you're top of the league, you're top of the league. So that's something to be said. I do think with the business half of the season coming up here, I think it's going to be really interesting just because teams are not performing or don't seem to be firing in all cylinders. There's no clear, they're running away with it or, oh, they're, you know, a real force to be reckoned with. I mean, people thought that about Liverpool. People thought that about City. And Liverpool have been looking a little bit shaky. Some cracks are showing. City, like you said, have been on a bit of a run, but they are still sixth right now. The top of the table is the top 10 is still quite tight. So it's really you can jump up quite a few places with a win or two. Like you said, with United, they are in the driver's seat, not by much, but they are. And it'll be interesting, like you said, with they controlling their own destiny, where they choose to take that.
Yeah. And Steve, I know last episode you were talking about how, you know, sort of the top 10, I think at that point was separated by maybe 11, 12 points. Or I mean, right now, 10 points separate first and 10th place. Man City, you know, two games in hand, potentially if they win both those games and things went their way, you know, they're really only a point behind Man United right now. I guess what I'll ask you guys now too is Liverpool. I mean, they've had a little bit of a break here. They played a couple like League Cup games and everything like that over these past couple days. But are they going to be raring to go, looking to defend their title? How much is that an important factor in this game that's coming up against Man United?
I think United are in a position to play for a draw. Whoa. Is it at Old Trafford or is it Anfield?
It's at Anfield.
Yeah, and I think playing away at Anfield, Anfield's one of the harder stadiums to travel to. Regardless, there are no fans, right? So like, yeah, if fans are not present, maybe that goes away. One of the interesting things that this season has brought about is all of the replays. So one thing working in Liverpool's favor right now is today's game was a makeup of a game that was suspended earlier in the year. And as a result, United are playing that extra game this week, and they threw their kitchen sink at them. You know, they played the best squad I think they have. They started all their starters. They didn't really rotate anyone out. They played for 3 points. And then as a result of that, I think they're able to be a little more strategic. I think it will bite them playing for a draw, but I see United trying to walk away with 1 point. And as a result, giving up something cheeky, either late in the game or early, and just trying to chase it the whole time. But I do think we will see Man U kind of positioned, you know, having played two games or three games really in close concession where Liverpool kind of had a week off. I think it's going to be tough for United to kind of really come out on top. And I think Liverpool are underrated at second place. You know, like they're dealing with a lot of injuries at the back. I think United's defense is too weak to compete with Liverpool when they're in form. I have heard rumors that there's issues in the locker room there. You know, we've heard rumors that Salah might be on his way out. We've heard other players are saying things along the lines like, you know, he's tough to work for. Lewandowski, actually, a previous manager or player for Klopp, is saying that, you know, he didn't bring the best out of players. He made the team work for them, which is an interesting concept. It does stifle creativity at times, which players don't necessarily like, but I think, you know, it gets results. So I don't think Jurgen Klopp is actually going to be as concerned with this game as we might be. He wants to win every game the same. I think, again, he's probably looking across the table and thinking Man City are in the mix too, and his job is to just keep them relevant. Both teams really do well with the draw.
Yeah, Steve, you know, Paul Pogba was the one that really scored the goal that put Man United top. You know, pretty nice volley for anybody that saw it. But how much of a factor is he? True. How much of a factor? Hey,
all
listen.
You want, Steve.
They all count the same. They all count the
3
same.
3 points is 3 points, right? At some point, United are getting unlucky with like 14 shots on goal. Yep. Right, like we quickly forget that you got to have luck fall your way sometimes.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, how important is he though? I mean, he's, you know, the one saying that, you know, the team now needs to focus until the end. Ben and I, for the longest time, we talked about how Paul Pogba, and you've even had conversations with us about how Pogba, you know, maybe isn't the most influential or positive member of the locker room for Man United. But right now, it's really looking like he's trying to stand out as a leader. You know, is it, I don't know, the glory that he's looking for? Is it something that's really gotten into him that now he's like, this will be the person that a lot of the younger players, especially on Man United, look towards as a World Cup winner?
Paul Pogba scores a goal, has a couple of games of decent form, and then everyone just starts ranting and raving about Paul Pogba because he's Paul Pogba. Mm. In your initial question, how important is he? I still rate Bruno Fernandes more important because that guy has been the epitome of consistency when it comes to performing. I mean, that guy, I think what, he's won player of the month 4 times in a calendar year. I mean, he is the most consistent performer for Manchester United. And I think Paul Pogba gets especially overhyped in times when he has a couple of strings of games. Good games are sweet. They're awesome. Excellent. Everyone likes to talk about good games, but the real telling signs of a good player are not what can you do, but can you do it consistently? And I don't think Paul Pogba does that. So I rate Bruno Fernandes as being more important and being that figure, that role model that you mentioned, more so than Pogba.
Fernandes has 11 goals and 7 assists in 17 appearances.
Yeah.
Like I agree with you that he is really that pivotal piece for Man United. I will say the thing with Pogba, and this is where the appeal is, when Pogba is on, there are just things he can do with the ball that are magical. And I don't know why. Correct. But the thing is this season, he came off of COVID and an injury and has been getting back into form. Is he finding his form? That's the real question. Is he in form off of COVID and an injury? And if so, how long can it last? And I think if it's because Man United are winning, it speaks to the negative mentality that he carries with himself of like, I need to be on the best squad there is. I think he is that good, but I think the problem is his motivation and drive, right? It's not so much his talent or skill. I think it's strictly He doesn't want it. He doesn't go and get it. And let's be real, COVID, we don't know really how that affects athletes. We're still learning as we go there. And then the injury he had as well, you got to cut him some slack. Since he's been back, he's done nothing but perform. And I think that's where all the hype is coming from. And at the same time, it's hard to knock him when he's sitting on top of the Premier League. And the goal today, yes, there was a deflection, a little bit of luck. He chicken winged it from outside the 18. It was pretty. Yeah. Loved it.
Yeah. I mean, you have Ole Gunnar Solskjaer saying that, you know, he's playing at his best right now. So he definitely sees something in him. And maybe it is a little bit of hype. But I think for me, just somebody that has the understanding of what it takes to win is never going to be a negative in a locker room. And I think that there are a lot of young players in that Manchester United team who are all of a sudden maybe finding themselves at the top of a Premier League that they maybe at the beginning of the season didn't expect themselves to be there. And now they're looking for somebody to just give them a little bit of a guiding light. And if you're a Manchester United fan, I think that you hope that Paul Pogba can be that person and allow your creative minds and your informed strikers like Fernandez to sort of excel and go off and do their thing. You know, you need somebody that's going to be the rock in the middle of that team. And I think for the longest time, you know, Ben can tell me otherwise, but I don't think that Manchester United have had that nucleus of a player that the whole team can build around.
Yeah. I guess ultimately what it comes down to for me is who would I choose to put into my side? And you, Ben, you said that when Paul Pogba is on, he does things that, you know, that next to no one can do. I would rather, or I value what Bruno Fernandes does every game versus what Paul Pogba can do sometimes every fifth, sixth, tenth game. I rate that more than even those special things that Pogba can do, because that's consistent and that gets more results. It's in the numbers. I guess that's ultimately what it comes down to for me.
Yeah. I think one thing I like to share with young players that I've had the opportunity to coach is there's a lot of players, and none of them are, let me get this right, to any of you listening that did play for me, none of you compared to Paul Pogba. Let's just get that out of the way right now. But like when we look at a Paul Pogba, There's a lot of players that have a ton of talent and a ton of gifts, right? Like they've got something they're really good at and they're really talented at it. And they hit a point where they don't need to work anymore because they're good enough to get by where they're at. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you coast and you become irrelevant. But the problem is with Pogba is he's such an expensive ticket. You know what I mean? Like we expect so much from him. If we were to just look at his stats this season, he is in, you know, decent form. He's sitting on, you know, 14 appearances with 2 goals, 8 wins and 3 losses. So he's not, like you're saying, Steve, he's not that like stellar player that we really should be commending. It is Bruno Fernandes. But the thing is that I think what I'm trying to say is when you look at a well-rounded player, we all too often with athletes in general take their raw talent and their physical talent and say they're the best player in the world. And I think the same about Neymar. And we lack the mental component. When you look at a footballer, there's a mental, a physical, a tactical, and a technical component. The mental component of Paul Pogba is really holding him back and hindering him from being considered a great in my eyes. And I think I'm agreeing with what you're saying, Steve. But those other three components, yeah, the tactical, technical, and physical components are unreal. And I think that's where it really gets interesting with Pogba. You know, shifting teams a little bit. One player that I'm particularly keen to see play out the rest of the season, I think is going to help out Everton, is Iwobi. I always say his name wrong, but he plays for Everton.
Alex Iwobi.
Yep. He's just broken his goal drought. It looks like he's coming into form. And, you know, in seeing him play, it looks like he could be something special. And Everton are positioned in a way that could make him, you know, the talk of the table if they keep it up, right? And especially with the way this year's going.
Yeah, I think Iwobi came from Arsenal, and I think since then he's struggled a little bit. But I mean, Twitter talk is Twitter talk. But a lot of the Everton fans that I saw, they were really talking him up. You know, he's put in a couple of good string of performances for the team right now, and I think that's, as Ben said, you know, it's proving to be a positive for Everton, and they're, you know, potentially playing a little bit of an upset. I mean, you always sort of expect Everton to probably be top 10 at least. But creeping up there in the top four is a great place to be. And like I said, I saw a lot of fans, you know, saying like Iwobi is he sort of like redeemed himself and everything like that. I'll tell you one person who's in trouble is Frank Lampard. You know, Chelsea sitting down there in ninth. What does he have? Four defeats in like seven matches or something. We've had this conversation about Mikel Arteta. We've had it, I think, about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at one point. But these player managers, you know, do they just hit a point where people maybe have figured out sort of what they're all about? You know, what do you think, Steve?
I think it's just the in thing right now is just having player managers. I think I mentioned that in a previous episode. Don't remember which one, but it just seems that's to be the trend, the fad that's going on when things aren't going according to plan and we need a new manager, a new breath of fresh air. What do? We bring in the ex-player who's got little to no experience or has been coaching like, you know, youth sides or whatever. But tying it back to Frank, I am by no means a Chelsea fan. Chelsea's probably one of my least favorite teams, if not my least favorite team next to Rangers. But I would like to, the romantic in me would like to see Frank Lampard have success. I always valued him as a player. I always thought he was a good player, wore his heart on his sleeve. And to see him get his success would be nice, especially after seeing him work up from Derby County and not just being granted a role, albeit it's a very big role. It's a very big step from Derby to Chelsea. But he did have a bit of experience and success at Derby that merited, some could say, that role, that move to Chelsea. But it's difficult to put your Frank could say the same thing. It's difficult to put your finger on what's going wrong there. I don't know if it's dressing room problems. You haven't really heard much about bust ups or bad personalities, but it's just not, whatever they're doing is just not translating to the pitch, and it's not getting them the numbers. I mean, Christian Pulisic and Ziyech and Kai Havertz and Timo Werner and Bill Ben Chilwell, all these new signings that were supposed to be the new thing for Chelsea. What do you guys think is going wrong? It's difficult for me to say.
I think there's a little bit of boardroom pressure. I don't know if you believe the British tabloids, but apparently Abramovich is thinking about bringing Avram Grant back. Ben,
good Lord.
Is that a good idea, do you think? Or what's your thought?
I think you're seeing a weird dynamic with Chelsea right now. I will say Chelsea's strength of schedule this last month has, not that everyone hasn't had a huge, you know, amount of games in a short amount of time. The volume has been unreal, but it is pretty tough. If you look at their track run, they're in Europe still. So they are still playing overseas. They're having to travel. They just faced Man City, an in-form Villa. Jack Grealish is unreal. Like, he's so fun to watch. He's one of those players whose stats are up there as well. Arsenal, who were coming off of kind of a weird lull, who you'd still think were a good squad. They hammered West Ham, and then they struggled against Wolves. So I think it's just been a matter of them having a real tough schedule. Like,
maybe.
Right? And that's part of it. And maybe. You're as a manager, you're going from managing just your local tournaments and your local league in Derby County to having to figure out how to manage being in Europe with the COVID protocols whilst traveling with a bunch of games on top of each other. United has that luxury. They're out of Europe. You know, they faltered.
Every Premier League team has the same schedule. Eventually, every team has to play everybody.
But that's in like a 2-week span. They played all of the top four teams except for Man United and Liverpool. Yeah. So they played two of the top four teams.
Right, but if you're a Chelsea, you know, this is not, you know, Fulham, West Brom, whatever.
This isn't foreign.
Yeah, this is not, you know, a team that just is expecting to survive or is looking for a mid-table kind of finish. This is Chelsea. You know, they have billions of dollars backing them.
If it means anything, I do think Frank should have more time, though. I think calls for a change in personnel, I think, is much too early. But I have heard, I mean, they are starting to surface some of those calls for a change. I've not heard of any solid leads on who might that change be. That Avram Grant was the very first I've heard of that one.
I don't see our Russian friend putting up with it. He's used to winning. Yeah. Like Abramovich, like he expects to win, expects the most of him. And to be frank, you're a bit of a spooner. Let's go to that route, right? Frankie Lampard, once a spooner, always a spooner. I don't know. As a United fan, I can barely deal with Liverpool winning games. I can't stand to see Chelsea up there. Yeah. That's a real United fan for you.
Another manager, probably, hopefully, on the hot seat, Steve Bruce at Newcastle, just allowed Sheffield United to get their first win in the Premier League. Billy Sharp getting his 100th Premier League goal for the Blades. First win of the Premier League season. Had to be Newcastle. Had to be Newcastle, boys.
I'm only laughing because I can hear it in your voice.
Yeah, it's resignation. I think we're in for a battle coming towards.
You played
the end
a 5-4-1 against the worst team in the league.
Yeah, we've been playing
you
five at the back.
Invited them into your house and said, "Hey, don't touch anything." Yep. Like it was so bad. Yep. Like a 5-4-1 is what you do against Arsenal when you're 2-1 up.
Yeah.
Right. Like. How do you put his squad out so bad than that? I think Bruce is on his way out. I think he's tanking for Taylor. There's an American reference for you. I do think, Alex, you guys are so bad. Like, I don't know what else to say.
It's not even us. It's the management. I mean, like you said, five in the back. I mean, you don't play five in the back unless you're playing, frankly, Man U or Liverpool. You know, you're just hoping to sort of walk away from that one and, you know, put up a good showing for the fans and everything like that. But I mean, to basically have the tactic of allowing Sheffield United to play their way into form is pretty intriguing. And over the past couple of weeks, you know, we've had some pretty stunning losses that just don't make any sense. And, you know, Steve Bruce comes out and talks to the press and he goes, "Oh, we gave it a good go. It was hard going down to 10 men. We're a work in progress and we'll be back at it again next match." And, you know, it's just tiring after a while to hear the exact same thing over and over again. Like, okay, we went down to 10 men, basically a halftime, but so it's Sheffield United. Like, you should be able to figure out your formation. You should have people on the bench that, you know, you can pull from and change your tactics and go from there. But Bruce has absolutely no idea what he's doing in my mind, and I think in many minds of many Newcastle fans. So here we are in 15th place, having not won a game in about five matches.
Solid. I think Steve Bruce has a bet that he can last 20 games without getting fired. Like, what else would you be doing?
Yeah, he says he's still up for the challenge. And I'm like, you know, bro, the challenge like was at the beginning of the season.
What are you talking about? Prove it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you want to see some fire, but the worst is Sheffield United have played a 3-5-2 for 18 games, and it's worked once, and it was in the 18th game. Like, it's not a great side. Sheffield have been really, really struggling, and it's not like they've been, like, in games. So, like, for Newcastle to not even walk away with a point was just that's right. I almost felt bad for saying, should we talk about it tonight? No. But, sorry, Alex. The two
I just
army.
Imagine Chris Wilder, like, with just adamant on the 3-5-2, and then he gets the result. I told you! I told you it would work.
He's calling his dad on the way home, and he's like, "Dad, you told me to stick with it, and I did." Like, no,
yeah,
Chris.
But you've lost all those other games. No.
Shut
I
your
told
mouth.
You would work.
They'll change it next week.
Yeah, it'll be 4-4-2.
Yeah, back at it.
Steve, let's go a little further north. How about your boy Celtic? What's happening?
We have to.
Yeah. Get rid of my sadness. I'll put it on.
Celtic, the boys have drawn against Hibs, and with three games still in hand, Rangers have won the league. So give them the trophy. Let's have the ceremony while there's still no fans in the stands. let them have that trophy in an empty stadium, because Rangers are now at 65 points, Celtic at 44 points. And even with that question of the three games in hand, it's just not looking like it. I honestly wonder how much toxicity from the fans permeates through to the squad, because they have to see what the fans say on a daily basis, at least get like a hint of it. Celtic just came back from right after Old Firm, in which we lost, had a training camp in Dubai, kind of freshen things up. Players all in sleeveless training tops, you know, getting soaking in the sun, just kind of like a little vacation, but still training and all that. The theme of the camp is, you know, putting in good work. The players are still working hard. going to come back refreshed and refueled, ready for the second half of the season, the business half. And we come back and we tie Hibs. And just, it's just, if you look at the comments section of any post on their social, on their socials, it's just everyone just calling for Lennon. Everyone just calling for Lennon in the most foul language possible. And you have to wonder, as a Celtic fan, what's next? Do you replace Lennon now, knowing that 10 in a row is lost, to have more time to rebuild for next season? Do you let him see it out for the rest of this season? I'm not entirely sure myself, but Rangers have won it. Yeah. You heard it here. Well, you didn't hear it here first, because I'm sure you heard it anywhere else. But
no, you heard it.
I've heard of it. I have now given into the eminent fact that
they've won it. I'm just saying, Celtic have 15 people out on COVID protocols. Neil Lennon's one of them. John Kennedy's another, and 13 first-team players are among them.
I guess I don't know the contingencies of those protocols, because I feel like a lot of them are still training and whatnot. I don't think
that's what happened. Is they were still training together, and what's his name, Christopher Julian, tested positive after their training camp in Dubai, which makes no sense to me.
Yeah,
and then they,
I agree.
You know, they went on a team holiday. I mean, if that doesn't say, hey, we've given up on the Scottish Premier League, it's going to take you 2 weeks to acclimatize back to the Scottish weather. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make sense. They've thrown the towel in already.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that take from a lot of fans online as well.
Right. And you'd mentioned, you know, do they hear the noise is what we'll call it, right? Like the noise around. Just because the fans aren't there doesn't mean you don't hear the booing.
Mm-hmm.
And 100%, man. Like, yeah, it's hard not to. Sure. We live in a day and age where we can literally – get into someone's phone and tell them they suck within 10 minutes. Just ask Taylor Twellman. We continue to just see that go on. It is different, right? Like, there's a different sense of letting that down. I think young players that are coming up through the squad that are maybe making their first team appearances for the first time are really missing that. But that's, I don't think you let Neil Lennon go yet, right?
How long has he been with the team?
He's been with the team since Brendan Rodgers left middle of the season for Leicester City. He left Celtic in 2019. He left in the second half of the season of 18-19 season.
Is the difference, and I mean this like generally, not trying to poke fun at the Scottish Premier League, but is the difference you got a second team in the mix now, and that changes how you play?
You're saying with the presence of Rangers?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely has to have some sort of effect. As to how drastic the effect, it's difficult to gauge. But, I mean, Celtic know there's a presence from the eternal rivals. And they're a force to be reckoned with this year. You know, not new manager, but a manager who's coming into his own. You have some players that are really firing in all cylinders. The noise, the public noise, I mean, just rumors and what everyone's saying, that definitely has to take into effect into the psyche of the players. And I think ultimately, yeah, maybe that does play into the tactics of some as well, of Neil Lennon. Well, so I guess frustrating to me is just the fact that Celtic don't seem to have a sense of direction. With Brendan Rodgers, it did. With Brendan Rodgers, that was a massive signal of intent of going for everything, of development. Not necessarily for then and that the rest of that season, but also for the foreseeable future. That was a direction in which they had foresight. They were looking down the road versus what was right in front of them in terms of where they wanted to be as a club and what their aspirations were. When Brendan Rodgers left and we bring in Neil Lennon is, yes, a player who has won many things with Celtic, and he has also been a manager with Celtic, but that's just the thing. Going back to what ultimately didn't work, what does that show as a signal of intent? It shows that they have a lack of direction. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. So they just go back to something that they're used to. It doesn't make sense. It's not a healthy relationship. It's not a healthy way of doing business in terms of a club. Are you asking me what my solution to the problem is? I would say,
you gotta spend money.
Yeah, you have to spend money. But, and then with COVID financial restrictions, it's difficult to see if Neil Lennon does go, who on earth would we even get that would be a signal of intent that any Celtic fan could see? The board's back in this. The board's going for it. Like, this is, we're doing it.
I wish Celtic and Rangers, I wish the whole Scottish Premier League could compete in the FA Cup.
The Scottish FA, but yeah, I know what you mean.
Right? I don't want to merge the leagues. I don't want to get ousted by the entire country of Scotland. We want our acquisition of Albion and Rovers to go smoothly, so please don't throw us out before we get there. But I do think it would be an element of bring a spark to the Scottish Premier League, right? Like, that might bring some money into the league. You might get some more high caliber players if there were more tournaments that
we can get some fans in the stadiums. But yeah, I get what you're saying for sure. Right. Anything to generate revenue streams is would be sweet, but I think the Scottish FA and the English FA, I don't know if that bridge would ever get crossed.
Right.
Yeah.
Wales does it, right?
Like, I'm just throwing that out there. That's a good point. Like,
and then, you know, we could get into the whole looking at if the England should have its own team versus the UK team, like we see in the Olympics, and what that could bring to it. I don't want to see that personally, but I think it's just interesting, that kind of dynamic in that conversation. Right. But I do wish that the Scottish Premier League's teams were able to compete and eligible to compete in the FA Cup. English FA Cup, sorry.
Yeah. Ben, I know you're, probably two episodes ago, you were talking about how, you know, you tell people if they go over to England and they're really looking to, you know, go see a match and, you know, they're thinking, oh, I'll go see Arsenal, whatever. Usually it's probably easier because it's in London where most people go. But, you know, go check out one of your lower league teams and just see what real English football is all about. You know, the FA Cup, for whatever, you know, modern advancements we have in everything that goes on, the FA Cup is something that just stays pretty true to heart. You know, it is the league, the cup that everybody gets a chance at, that's in the football league around England, no matter what league you're in. So for example, what we had, Marine FC, they're 161 places behind Tottenham in the league, and they got to play each other. So, I mean, we won't go through, you know, every single one of these, you know, it's only the fourth round of the FA Cup, but this is where you get some of these interesting ties start to play out. Marine lost 5-0 to Tottenham, but it was just so funny to see, you know, images of some of these, you know, multi-million dollar players, Jose Mourinho, stuff like that. Just, you know,
Gareth Bale just sitting in these cinder block looking.
Yeah.
Just exactly. Tiny chairs just below surface level, just kind of in this dark, wet, just hut of a dugout.
Yeah, like, he's lucky he didn't get robbed.
Places that are worse than like your average high school bench, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
This field was literally in a neighborhood with fencing around it, so it didn't smash the windows.
Right.
People are just hanging out their front window watching Tottenham play.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. The pictures on social media of that match, just seeing these multi-million-dollar players in a pitch like this with like just the little like half painted billboard or like the paint peeling billboards in the back, like on like the, yep, the perimeter walls, is just, it's a treat.
Yeah. Ben, have you ever played in the FA Cup?
I think we all have at some level, Alex.
With that. I played FIFA.
In our heart. I think it's the most amazing tournament, right? Like, that's how so many players have been discovered. Was Vardy discovered that way? Either way, I believe Vardy was discovered that way.
I mean, Danny Welbeck,
any team in England qualifies for the FA Cup, right? Like, if you pay into the FA, you qualify into the FA Cup, and you can go and play, and it's luck of the draw who you go and play against. For most teams, you go and get a draw against, like, I don't know, a really bad team and think you got it, and you show up to this team you never heard of and they smoke you like 7-0. Like, that's the reality of it. But I think it just shows there's still this grassroots element to the game in the UK and in England with the FA Cup, that on any given Sunday, right, that you can play against pretty much anyone and you get your shot. I like that the US is trying to do it. I can't remember the name of the tournament, Steve.
US Open Cup.
US Open Cup. Mm-hmm. It's they're trying to get the same sort of system going where they play across all levels, and I think it does help with some of those younger players to have an alternative route other than college soccer in the States to get a shot. And I think it's important because there's people that don't have access to college, and there's people that don't have access to sports in the same way that like these money-making academies provide for kids. And it's a shame. Mm-hmm. So something like the FA Cup gives those kids that opportunity that may have gotten missed to get called up. Alex, did you find anything out on any players that have been pulled up through the FA Cup?
No, just that Danny Welbeck has scored 8 goals in his career in the FA Cup. Just want to throw that out there.
You said his name wrong. It's pronounced Danny World Class Welbeck.
That's absolutely right. My apologies to Mr. Welbeck.
It's strange. There was maybe this could have been completely my experience with it, but growing up, there definitely was the appeal of the FA Cup. I mean, it was highly regarded, almost like, in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, going into the late 2000s. It seemed, that the FA Cup was held with a very high prestige. But going into the second, into the 2010s, it seemed that the shine or the focus, the spotlights on the FA Cup seemed to kind of fade away, it seemed a little bit. People don't really regard the FA Cup, it seemed like, as much as they used to. You don't really get full-strength teams as much in the FA Cup. People don't really go in for it. They're just kind of like, yeah, we're in it. We'll field a team. We'll play. But, like, you know, the focus is the Premier League. It seems like perhaps a little bit it is beginning to shift back to the old ways, but you hear the older players in interviews, like Alan Shearer, like Ray Parlors, and keep going back and back, just what the FA Cup, you can see that the sparkle in their eye when they talk about the FA Cup and like what it used to mean. And you don't really get that with players now.
And yeah.
I just don't know where that was lost.
Yeah, I think part of it, for me at least, is I know they've always had the League Cup since like the 60s or whatever, but they've turned it into the Carabao Cup now and everything. And I think a lot of new fans that came into it too, they don't quite get the sort of the magic of what the FA Cup is because there's so many other advertised and stuff just pushed forward in your face, Champions League, Europa League, all this kind of stuff. And it's a little bit probably, the curse of making the Premier League what it has become, such an international league, following across the world. People don't quite get the intricacies of, or maybe don't, they have to be explained, the mm-hmm. sort of the magic behind the cup and everything. But once they find it, they love it, but it's just getting that out there to a sort of a broader mass of people. And because of that, I think, as you said, Steve, it comes down and trickles down into the teams. They're playing in so many different cups. They've got to have so many different teams that can play on Sunday, on Wednesday, on Friday, and move forward from there.
But it's not like that wasn't the case back then, too. I mean, they still had these tournaments, these different tournaments that they were playing in. Mm. I think part of it, too, is attention follows the money. And with all the money going into the Prem, that's the most widely televised league. It's been hyped up for the past two decades as being, the most prominent league in the world, and everyone wants to tune into it. And I think with all of those different spotlights coming from everywhere, focusing on the Prem, you have less now on things like the FA Cup and stuff. And those start to the effect of what I previously just said starts to happen.
Yeah. So Ben, how excited are you though? Let's bring it sort of a little bit back to the Premier League. So Man United drew Liverpool in the fourth round of the FA Cup.
Oh yeah, I did see that.
They're going to play them basically back to back.
You want to talk about money? That's a fixed draw. he had the numbers up his sleeves.
Wasn't that Peter Crouch making the draw?
Yeah, he's in deep. He's in high water too, because at home apparently that's a bit of a rift between him and his missing family.
Yeah. You know what long sleeves mean.
Well done, Steve. Welcome to the show. That's great. That's made my day. I think that's awesome, right? Like you get to feel them out in a one-all draw this Sunday, followed by a knockout game that'll probably put some bums in seats. Hopefully people are back in the stadium. I do think the FA Cup, like you guys were saying, brings this energy to the league. And I don't think you have the Premier League as successful without the FA Cup. Just throwing that out there. I think the FA Cup makes it special. I do think that they've tried throwing money at those other tournaments, like the Careless Cup, the Caribou Cup. Like, that's changed sponsorship over the last, like, what, 5 years? Like, 6 or 7 times, right?
Caribou Cup.
Right, but, like, it's a joke. Like, they've tried to sell out certain tournaments. It doesn't do it. The FA Cup has that buzz about it that just brings an energy that keeps it relevant. And I don't see the FA selling it out either, right? They'll sell the marketing rights to it, but they're not going to rename it, which is probably going to be the last time. I bet you, like, in – you know, a year we're retracting that statement because they've sold out, but I think it's good. But yeah, United against Liverpool in the FA Cup, that seems too good to be true, to say the least.
So let's move on to our trash takes of the week. Let's go back to the Premier League, see who we think is going to win, who's going to be the upset of the week. And then Ben, I know you got a pretty good where are they now in store for us. So we'll get to that in a little bit here.
We want to take a moment to talk about transfers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, tis the season. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, man? tis the season.
I bet you don't drink eggnog on Christmas either. Grinch.
All right, now so, for pure gossip. Go ahead.
Have you seen? Well, no, there's some facts in there too. Like Man United have signed this young kid from Atalanta, and there's already the pressure of the entire world on him, comparing him to the second coming of Ronaldo Diala, and I think he's. I think United are going to be in – I'm really upset that they're comparing this kid to Ronaldo just because he's 18 years old and performing really well right now. Like, yeah, you got to be good to get signed by United, but how can you compare him to Cristiano Ronaldo? Yeah. Like, that's such a scary thing to do.
I mean, they signed him for what? Some reports say £37 million. Like, for an 18-year-old? I mean, if there's not
pressure like they on want you, him. It's like they want you to fail.
Yeah,
man, this kid's gonna be like Ronaldo. The kid's like, what am I supposed to do with that? What do you mean?
If he works out, though, you know, Solskjaer's a genius, right? So, like, the real pressure is on Solskjaer on that one. I did see, though, getting into the gossip and starting the rumor mill that as of today, updated 3 hours ago, Sergio Ramos to Man United on a 2-year deal. That, to me, solves Man United's problem and makes Man United title contenders.
I don't know if that – I mean, you said 3 hours ago, so that's newer than any information I've seen. But I thought contract talks with Sergio Ramos and having an extension at Real Madrid were pretty well in advanced talks there. But maybe something's recent developments happened.
Well, there is talk about Real Madrid looking to offload at least 6 players by the summer, mostly in the summer, to basically clear the way for Mbappe. So maybe they're looking to do whatever little deal they can, 1 or 2 players to offload in the winter and then make a lot of noise in the summer.
I do think Real needs to, I mean, just to quickly blurb about Real, I think that they are putting off the transition phase as far as possible. I mean, they have so many players that they are just reluctant to let go of. Luka Modric and Sergio Ramos and Karim Benzema. I'm curious as to the average age of the starting 11 for Real Madrid, because it's got to be 30 or above. Toni Kroos is 31. Luka Modric is 35. Ramos is 35. Benzema is 32 or 33. I mean, the list goes on.
Yep.
Anyway, going back to the transfer rumors with the Prem, Diego Costa make it a return to the Prem? Yeah? No?
Where to?
Brighton. We'll see. No. Newcastle.
absolutely.
Sheffield United. He does really well in the 3-5-2. It's really dominant.
I saw we were linked to Dele Alli for like 2 minutes. What? That was about it. Yeah.
I've seen Lingard.
I was talking about bringing Newcastle. Him back.
That's Lingard? Not me making that up. I've seen Lingard go reports of Lingard going to Newcastle.
I mean, frankly, anybody at this point would be an improvement, but really, I'm not even looking for players. I'm looking for a new manager. Anybody?
You guys need Wayne Rooney. Calling it. Wayne Rooney will coach Newcastle United.
I'm here for it.
His first coaching job. Is that worse than Steve Bruce?
No. Nobody is. Oh, man. What was the other one that I saw? Oh.
Mesut Ozil's a big
one. I was just going to say, Ozil, Turkey. Where is he going?
Going to Turkey.
Yeah, it does look like he's going to Turkey. He's been doing like Arsenal Q&As, and he's been dropping just like, he's been saying everything but I am going to Fenerbahce. Yeah. He's been saying anything. He supported the club as a kid. If he was going to Turkey, the only club he'd want to play for is Fenerbahce. If before I retire, There's two countries I want to play in, which is USA and Turkey. I mean, the writing's on the wall.
What about Ozil saying that he would rather retire than play for Tottenham?
I thought that was hilarious.
And then was it Mourinho clapped back and who told him Tottenham are interested?
who told him we were interested in him?
I don't know this guy.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if those professionals, like, because like Mourinho and Ozil have like a history at Real Madrid, a short one, but they do. And like, if they were pals, like, I just wonder, like, they take these public stances against each other, but they have each other's number. They just text each other like, hey, dude, like,
right.
Good one. Why'd you? Like, they're just like laughing emojis, just sending them at each other. Like,
right.
Look at these idiots writing about.
Yeah,
this.
Look at these. Yeah.
I heard this podcast, Swift Kicks podcast, talking about it.
And then Ozil will end up at Tottenham. Like, that'd be the real joke.
Then it happens. Then it actually happens.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty slow transfer window, to be fair. And I think some of that might be the Brexit stuff, but I also think people are taking their time. We'll see the real rush for the transfer window at the end of the month, right?
Yeah. And the other big thing for watch out for Newcastle, I joke about a new manager and everything. Watch out for new ownership. Apparently there's going to be a decision made again. We'll call it a resolution this time in a timely manner about our takeover dispute from the Saudi private investment fund. And if that happens, I won't even care what happens. Like, as long as we survive the Premier League, we'll be the richest team in the world, and it'll be the greatest thing since sliced bread.
So does that mean Newcastle United would be a complete, like, would that be the biggest sale of the transfer?
the entire team? Yeah. Just sell.
I think I speak for any Newcastle fan out there in saying, I will believe it when I see it.
Exactly. There were so many times when I thought it was happening over the summer. I mean, there was like reports in like legitimate newspapers about it and still didn't happen. Here we are today. So right. I don't know.
Martin Ashley is the worst business person in the entire Premier League.
Just Martin Ashley must be Mike Ashley's brother. I don't know about him.
Yeah.
You're just slandering his bro.
Bro, why are we going to do that?
Why are you gonna fact check like Ben.
You're welcome. For the record, that was scripted. They asked me to do that on purpose so we'd have content. You're welcome for your entertainment. Mike Ashley, whatever. You still lost to whatever that team's name is.
Yeah. Sheffield. Sheffield
United literally wrote you the script of what they were going to do and lost to you.
So I guess that would be technically the upset of the last week. What do you think the upset of the coming week will be, Ben?
Hang on, did you just say that was the upset of the last week?
Yeah, I did.
I've been saying that Newcastle won the championship.
Giant Slayers, Sheffield.
Dude, you guys went up against an in-form, unbeatable Sheffield.
That's right.
Come on.
Yeah.
I think Steve has either gone stoic or frozen.
I am looking at the fixtures, and there's some fun ones coming up this next week. On the 17th, Villa play Everton. I think that would be a good game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at upsets. I don't know if this would be considered. How would we consider this an upset? I think West Brom could get a result against Wolves.
1 point or three?
I was hoping you weren't going to ask me that.
The whole point of this segment.
Yeah, I think 1 point. I think it'd be a draw.
I'm going to go ahead and say my boy Danny World Class Welbeck's going to lead Brighton to a win over Leeds. I think that's a bit of a stretch win there, but I think there's a little bit of potential there too. I think the Leeds have kind of been really weird to watch, right? They have like really good results and then really poor results. So I think Brighton are going to pull something out there. I'm going after the 3 points against Leeds there.
That might be tough. Brighton play on the 13th against City. And then 3 days later, they play Leeds, a high-running, high-pressing team of Leeds.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's goes back to that COVID schedule, but I'm sticking with it.
It's locked. It's set in stone.
My pick – upset of the week. I'm going to say the Magpies, Newcastle. They're going to beat Arsenal. We went toe-to-toe with them for basically 115 minutes in the FA Cup, 0-0. Probably should have pulled out a win in the first 90, but I think we got this one. We can eke out a win against Arsenal because it's the Newcastle way. We'll lose against the bottom team, and then we'll pull out a random victory that makes no sense.
Whew. Away too. We'll see.
That's a ballsy take,
yeah.
Alex. Going for the W there. Is Liverpool beating Man United?
I think they have more rest. I personally think that they'll pull it out.
Yeah, Liverpool are better in better position to have a win there, right? But is that technically an upset?
No.
No.
I think that's
– I wouldn't say it's an upset.
I agree with Steve that Aston Villa-Everton is – frankly, I didn't notice it, but it would be probably the game I would want to watch.
Yeah.
But Liverpool, Man United, you know, the big title games, like they're all, there's so much build up for it and everything. And then it's a 1-1 draw.
Right.
You know, but I think Aston Villa, Everton, you know, they're both two teams that are going at it. They got something to play for, show off for. So I think that's one to watch.
Southampton and Leicester should be a good game too. It is a good weekend of football.
I agree.
All right, Ben, where's your, where are they now?
So the, where are they nows of today? We've covered the greats, Jack Wiltshire, Danny World Class Welbeck, and whoever we talked about last time. This week, we are going to look into the wonderful world of Alex Song. You guys remember him?
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
Wow.
Last I heard, we did like West Ham, Barcelona, and then I have no idea. I have no idea where he's at.
So
he's from
Alex
Djibouti,
Song,
right?
Well, I mean, just up.
Holy cow, you weren't even joking. He is.
He is. Correct. So in like 2012, he went to Barcelona for like 19 million.
Yeah.
From Arsenal. And he's from Cameroon.
He's from Cameroon.
He's
correct.
Cameroonian.
He's not Djiboutian?
No.
Wow. He went to Barcelona, then to West Ham on loan twice. Rubin Kazan, which is in Russia, correct? It is Russian. It is Russian. And then Sion, which is a Swiss team. And then he played for their second team of Sion, it looks like, Sion 2. And now he plays for...
The first one burned down.
Return of Sion.
He plays for a team now referred to as
Arta,
or currently known as Arta Solar 7 for sponsorship reasons. And they are a football club from Arta, Djibouti.
Nice.
Did you say he's playing in Djibouti?
He's only 33. Surely he could have gotten a contract somewhere.
He went for 19 million to Barcelona.
Oh, they're going to
in 10 years. Jeez. When he's in his prime, is now.
He's into Djibouti stuff.
Holy smokes. 33. He could have went to the MLS and gotten a better, whatever. Maybe Djibouti was just on the bucket list. He's like, man.
Isn't it always?
The footy in Djibouti, I heard it's something else. I need to get me down there to Djibouti.
You know, swinging your balls around in Djibouti.
It does look like Song was sacked because of COVID restrictions too. He was collateral for a team that couldn't afford contracts in the Swiss league. And then he took the trip down south below the
around the quarter
belt. Yeah.
These are, I'm looking
this,
at the kits
show
right
is brought
now,
to
the...
you by adults. Yeah.
Oh.
So where are they now? Alex Song. He's in Djibouti.
What? He's in Djibouti. He's there all along. You just had to look.
Yeah.
That is a crazy one, though, right? Like, can we just take a moment to acknowledge being an absolute falling down the stairs of a career? Like, hide his career at Barcelona, wound up in Djibouti. What a story. You know, and again, that's another where are they now with the world-class players like Alex Song. We got to come up with something for these guys. I'm going to make a wall of where are they nows.
All right, so let's clean it up now. We're moving away from Djibouti, getting into the clean stuff again. Ben, we've got an entire podcast without talking about Zlatan. I want to know how sad it makes you that Cristiano Ronaldo has now equaled the world goal scoring record and not Zlatan.
I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo is low key the best player of all time. It's just, you know, we talked earlier about the mental, physical, technical, and tactical components of what makes a great football player. If you were to grade all of those out of 10, Ronaldo is like a 10 in all of them. Ibra's, you know, a solid 9 in all of them, except for the mental. He's a 15.
I feel this is pure blasphemy from Ben Green to be talking about
Ibra and anything other not than being calling him the greatest best. Of all time.
Yeah.
No, I think what I love about Zlatan is the aroma that follows him. He's got an aura, not an aroma.
I was about to say, you it smells him.
Like shit. He's been into Djibouti. I think it's important to recognize, though, like Ronaldo is that good. For the record, I don't want to do any disservice here. I think Cristiano Ronaldo is the best of our lifetime. I think he's just continuing to prove it by putting up stats, and he's still got a couple years ahead of him. I think it'll be exciting to see where he finishes his career with goals scored. I think the real question is, where's Messi in that conversation? Oh, he's not. So back to Ronaldo running away with it.
Spicy.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's that time of the night. But no, I think it's a testament to how great of a player Cristiano Ronaldo is. And he's honestly still in good form. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't look like an aging player when you see him play. He's still scoring goals. He's playing at the highest level, and he's doing well. Steve, any input?
Zlatan is defying everything that we know about how footballers should be acting at his age. But Ronaldo breaking the that record, I don't think is a surprise to really anybody. Ronaldo is head and shoulders above everybody in that regard. Maybe there could be an argument for Messi scoring the most goals for a club, taking over Pele's record. I mean, that's no small feat, but that's a whole nother topic that we could go into debate with Ronaldo, Messi. But I don't think it's much of a surprise on my end, Ronaldo getting that, squeaking that over Zlatan.
No, it's awesome to see. And I do think Zlatan, if he wanted to be, would be number one, but he's not by choice.
Yeah, humble.
Yeah, stay grounded.
Yeah. And on that message, Ben, take it away.
If you've made it this far, congratulations. You've passed the first test. The second test is we need you to leave us 5 stars, not 4, not 3, not 2. You can leave us 1, but it makes you a jerk. Leave us 5 stars and a comment in the box, whatever it says. You can put hashtag cancel Steve, fact check Ben, shave Alex. I don't know what you want to do, but either way, no matter what it is, 5 stars. You understand? And positive comments. We all leave love here. We covered great things today. Thank you all for listening. Go Sheffield United, Newcastle nil. So, cheers. Ricky Ricardo. Ricardo. Jimmy back. Ricky Ricardo.